thank you, Inigo, for the hope. And yeah, it was really dense. And I think that we will have a lot of questions. Yes. Mostly, I think that Eric is the right person to answer you.
I mean, I very much appreciated the presentation. It's overlapping with so many things that I'm researching. You finished with evoking another mode of organizing our economy that makes me think of I don't know if you're familiar with the work of Baha Nourizadeh, After Scarcity. She discusses these, she basically goes back to the Soviet experiment to organize their economy a bit in the way that the Cybersyn project in Chile did. And she tells the failure of that project for the reasons that you mentioned, not the right theoretical tools, and also a political problem inside the Soviet Union, and clearly not enough computation power. So anyway, this is. Thanks very much for the excellent presentation and the way you introduce the question of money also. I mean, I will be speaking right after, maybe trying to foreground the question of liquidity making, because I think it's a really key issue, the engineering of flows. And I guess it'd be better if other people that have questions talk before I jump in.
Thanks.
Someone else than us, maybe?
Oh, you can go, Fabian.
No, but I can try.
I see you thinking.
because I touched my head yet. No, there are many things. If I really liked your conclusion, obviously. because do we understand, if I understand right, what you say, and maybe it goes back to the question I asked earlier about the question of justice and injustice in games. I don't know if you heard, but it seems that your idea of justice in what you're posing here is the capacity to compute the right price. Could it be a definition of justice in your model? First question.
That's a difficult question, justice. One thing is, so I was talking about the hierarchy of access to the machine, right? And that's what I think is fundamentally unfair, right? The way that there's a system, you know, the current system, or effectively the system since capitalism has been based on this, you know, cybernetic mechanism that is intrinsically about increase of asymmetries, about the exploitation of them, right? But then, so there's a way of organizing the machine so that it's no longer based on intrinsic kind of exploitation of its asymmetries, but based on, but assimilate, allows for this kind of, you know, competitive exchange and so on. Instead of, you know, of having that, you know, what would be the fair way of doing that? Well, would be to have a level of access to the machine where there wouldn't be the need for this kind of ferocious competition in order to get a better position than the other person in terms of the hierarchy, right? It's because everyone has a more or less good access to the machine, right? Via universal basic income, or and via the communist cybernetic provision of services, then that would free up the capacity of economic agents to act in ways that would be much more beneficial to groups at whatever scale, rather than individuals.
Yes, thanks. The second question that I had is more maybe a technical thing about money. I think it was in reference to sellers, when you started speaking about sellers and the analogy between money and language, which has its limits, I guess.
Yes, yeah.
An analogy, I'm very interested in, especially in the film that we're producing, that we were thinking of a shift from a moneyless world to, it's a shift from money or currency to a type of language that these slaves would be creating. But so that's why I'm interested in that. But maybe we can go to that point. If we think of language as, there are things in language that you can do that you cannot do in money, with money, right? Like humor or make semi-true statements in language, in money, you cannot do this kind of stuff.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, yeah, the analogy is only at one very basic abstract level, which is to do with rule following procedure. And then, so obviously the analogy breaks down. I mean, this is why I'm following Jean Cartelier in arguing for this computation account. And so he has this different analogy. He says that, that money is like the RAM in a computer. It's the operations that are kind of, when it's online, the kind of online transactions, when it's on and working and making these transactions, whereas wealth is like the ROM. So it's kind of sitting there in the, right? So wealth is the ROM and money is the RAM.
Thanks.
Donc, est-ce qu'il y a d'autres questions?
Moi, peut-être.
Qui est-ce?
Vas-y. Salut, Jérémy.
Hi, friend.
Salut.
Ça va? Thanks, Inigo. And hi, as well. just to clarify, maybe if I understood you well, what you said about the market in terms of pricing being the best computational model, if I understood you well, is under the condition in which fair pricing is understood as a close idea to justice, right? So we could say that, in a way, just trying to get back to the ideas that were discussed a little bit before about, the like inductive justice, or the idea that it can be fined outside of the given conditions, right? Or outside of what is already given. I'm just wondering if what you were implying is that your critique of the market being the best computational model for pricing needs also to be to disconnect the idea of what is the end of computation from pricing itself. Was it clear enough?
I think I'm understanding the thrust of it. So I mean the argument of the efficient markets hypothesis is that the pricing, the market's operations can't be beaten by any kind of systematic betting strategy, right? So that means that the price at any one time that the market spits out ought to be the best price, right? Yeah. But then, as I've argued previously, when we don't assume here either perfect competition, perfect information, or imperfect, the heterodox theory, but real competition, where that is based on you know, manipulation, sabotage, etc., right? So then that means that the price that is spat out is a result of all of those manipulations and so on, right? So that's not fair. No. it's just unbeatable by any systematic practice, right? So right.
Yeah,
okay. And you know, so people who, you know, the big players in the economy have massive capital behind them. It means they can force the price process towards where they want to go to some degree, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But so what you mean then is that basically we had, and there was attempts at least to organize those exchanges and the valuation by other means than the market that could be seen as being as efficient.
Yes, right. But
do you need for that to disconnect it from pricing, or do you retain pricing as, you know, as a core?
I see. Yes. No, I don't think you disconnect from pricing. I think that's a different operating system for pricing.
Okay.
So it's no longer driven by market dynamics, but it's driven by kind of cybernetic computational process, right? So that sets the price, or for example, an anarchist and syndicalist group effort, so on. You know, so pricing is the way that a social system via a mediating machine engages with contingencies.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.